Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Even more mine. Even more mine. If I can draw your attention to this really harsh sounding bit of words that Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. I want to throw that little phrase just on your screen. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Is there it? I know Jesus said it in a way that sounds harsh and sounds almost judgy, but as I read it, I'm sorry, I can't think of a phrase. That's why I wanted it on the screens for just a minute. I can't think of a phrase that better describes the paradox of human spirituality. Almost can't find a phrase. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but you have in mind the concerns of men. I almost can't think of a phrase that better describes what it's like to be human and have a relationship with God. I don't want you to just have religion. I want you to have a relationship with God. But when you have a relationship, a real relationship, a love relationship, not just a relationship based on what you have in common, not just a relationship just based on compatibility. I'm talking about a love relationship. In a love relationship, you're different, but still work on it. In a love relationship, you may not see the world in exactly the same way, but you still talk and share and push because the love bridges the differences between you. Anybody in a relationship in this room, raise your hand. If you're in a relationship, well, everybody's hand should be up because everybody in here has a relationship, whether it's a relationship with a significant other, your man or your woman, or a relationship with your child, or a relationship with your parents, or a relationship with your friend, or a relationship with your cousin, or a relationship with your dog. You have a relationship with a dog and you love the dog. Well, part of the reason why you have the dog is because you love the dog. Because the dog don't think like you. Your view of the world and the dog's view of the world is very different. I remember when we had a dog, we used to have this little dog, his name was Zero. He was a little Shih Tzu dog. Shih Tzu, my Lord help us. Little Shih Tzu dog. And when we would leave to go to church, me and all the kids were younger, and we would leave to go to church, he would cry. He would, it would break the kid's heart, just break their heart, because we're leaving to go to church. He's in the house by himself, and he doesn't want us to leave him by himself. And so the kids would run back in and they would hug him and they would say, Zero, it's okay. We're going to be back. We're just going to church all day. I mean, for a couple of hours. We'll be back in a little bit. And they would hug him and they would rub him in. He would be good. But then as we left to go outside, you could hear him. And I'll say, come on, guys, just get in the car. Just go ahead and get in the car. Because he can't see us right now, and because he doesn't feel us right now, he thinks we're not really there. But just because he doesn't see us doesn't mean we're not there. Just because he doesn't feel us doesn't mean that we have left him. Just because he's not in our presence right now does not mean that he is not on our mind. When we came back from church and he just jumped up and ran to them and was barking and he was so happy. But the next week, same thing. One of those times I shook my head at him and I thought, this dog, he's just never gonna get it. At that moment, the Lord said to me, yeah, that's like you. Sometimes you never gonna get it. Just cause you don't feel me don't mean I'm not there. Just because you ain't in my house don't mean I don't care. Just because sometimes that's you, as he was going, The Lord said, Andy, that's you. Just because you don't feel me every minute does not mean I don't love you and care about you. Just because your day may be dark right now don't mean that God's not in your life. Just because we turn the lights off don't mean that we never coming back. It may be absolutely possible that right now you don't really feel the Lord that well. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're saying, Lord, are you here? Lord, do you care? I can't feel you. Just because you can't feel him don't mean he's not there. Doesn't mean he doesn't care. What is that? That is the paradox of human spirituality. That is the paradox of being in a love relationship with the Almighty God. He don't think like you think. And if you're going to love him, you got to be all right with the fact that he might think something or say something or feel some kind of way that you don't feel. I don't know if we can really, when I look at this passage, and particularly Peter, the fact that Peter went from blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by God. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The fact that he went from amazing spiritual moment to a few verses later, being called Satan. The fact that in 1 minute, the Lord looks at him and says, now that's what I'm talking about. And in the next minute, in the same breaths, the same Jesus that said, you got it going on there, is the same Jesus that said, get behind me, Satan. And I'm sorry, maybe you don't want to admit it. I think you can admit it around the world. I think we can admit it in this room. That is human spirituality. You can go from high, awesome Sunday church, hallelujah, Jesus move, to being this close to cussing somebody out. Oh, I guess I can't get an amen. You can go from hallelujah and the Lord smiling on your praise to saying something else that the Lord has to rebuke you about. I really don't think that we're in any position to judge Peter. As a matter of fact, I actually think if you are in this room or if you're watching around the world, if you think of yourself as real, you know how they say, real sees real. If you think of yourself as real, whether you're white or black or Indian or Ghanaian or Nigerian or Australian, whatever you may be, if you think you got any kind of cred, if you think you got any kind of swag, if you think you're not a snitch, if you think that you ain't, you feel like you hard, you feel like you from the street, you feel like real see real, if that's you, then Peter is your dude. Because one of the reasons why we look at Peter in a negative way is because we think Peter is a preacher. And Peter is not a preacher, not here. In this passage, Peter is a businessman. Peter is a fisherman. Peter is not a part of the priesthood. So for everybody in the room, everybody watching around the world who's not a part of the priesthood, I know you're a royal priesthood, but for all of you who are not preachers, Peter is your guy because Peter is a man of means. Peter owns boats in a time when wood is not easily found. Peter is loyal. Peter is tough. And what Jesus said See, for those of us who are churchy and churchified and know about the cross and know what's about to happen, we are upset with Peter. We're nodding our head, get behind him, Peter. Get behind him, Satan, because we need Jesus to die on the cross. But I'm sorry, if you're Peter and you are tough and loyal and hard and carry a sword and will try to cut somebody's ear off, and if you love Jesus, you got anybody in your life you love where you just love them? I'm sorry. Jesus starts talking about going to Jerusalem, them abusing him, them killing him. Peter says, whoa. Time out. Real quick. Hold on. Let me take Jesus aside. Jesus, let me tell you something right now. As long as I'm around, as long as I'm here, nothing like that will never happen to you. We will never let them catch you. We will never let them take you. We will never let them kill you like that. What you think, we punks around here? Let me tell you, I got a sword too. They're not about to take you. They're not about to kill you. I love you, you my boy. See, if we look at it from that perspective and we stop seeing Peter as a preacher, it's more relatable. Because if you have somebody you love, you don't like nobody bothering somebody you love. If you got somebody you love, you don't want to see somebody you love nailed to the cross. Even if it is for humanity, you won't want to watch it. We just get so caught up in the spirituality, Elder Paul, that we miss the human side of it. Jesus and Peter is like, dude, I am your main dude. I'm your main guy. And he proved it, even though he denied him. But he followed him. Everybody else ran. Everybody else was at the house. Peter followed. And his fear overcame his loyalty. And he wept over it. Because that's possible. It's possible for you to be so scared that you're not as loyal as you need to be. I wish I had a witness. It's possible for your fear for your own life to battle against your loyalty to someone, and you can find yourself in a difficult situation. Do you think Peter wanted to deny Jesus? He followed. He's like, Jesus, I am your boy. And quite honestly, sorry, but in that moment, Peter thought Jesus was crazy. The same Peter that said you to Christ. Same Peter that said you the Son of the living God. Same Peter that said you are the Messiah is the same Peter that listened to Jesus and said, that's nuts. And I don't know about you, but there have definitely been times when the Lord has said something to me or asked me to do something and I said, you crazy, God. Jesus, you crazy, Lord, there's no way. Lord, no way will I ever do that. No way will I ever let that happen. No way. As a matter of fact, that's a line I can't cross. I don't know if a relationship or your love for God has ever forced you to cross a line you weren't prepared to cross. I don't know if you've been on the planet long enough. There's all kinds of different ages around me, and I know around the world. I don't know if you've been on the planet long enough for your love to make you adjust your expectations. Part of the reason why many of us can be so greatly disappointed in people is because we have not taken their cue and adjusted our expectations. You can never really be hurt but so bad if your expectations are on par with what is actually about to happen or what the person can actually provide for you. Where you get hurt is because you expected more than what you got. But I would contend that it's been a while now and they showed you who they were. Don't make no sense being that upset with your daddy. Your daddy has been showing you since you was 4 that he don't really care about you that much. Hey, you need to get over it, and you need to adjust your expectations, and so that when he does show up, you are pleasantly surprised. Because if you are constantly expecting expecting him to be more than what he is, then he will constantly be able to hurt you. The way to stop him from hurting you is not to change him, it's to change you. Because at some point you're going to come to grips with the fact that your daddy is your daddy, and your mama is your mama, and your cousin is your cousin. Pookie is Pookie. Your teenager is your teenager. Anybody that's got teenagers knows having teenagers is like the diving board at the pool. You ever been to a pool that's got a high diving board and a low diving board? They're both over the deep end. That means that if you can jump off the high diving board, you can swim. If you jump off the low diving board, you can swim. They're both near each other. If you can jump off the low, then you can jump off the high. The high is what everybody can do. The low is what people gon' do. And if you ain't seen this yet, keep living. But being a parent is believing in what your child can do and loving them rascals with what they gon' do. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the building. You have to believe they can jump off the high diving board and love them when they jump off the low. Because the fact of the matter is, in a relationship, there's going to be a difference in how you see the world. So when Jesus says, you have in mind the things of man and not God. I know he says merely, mere human things. You've got in mind things that are merely human. The challenge in this moment, Peter, is I am trying to do something that's godly, and you are trying to do something that is human. I don't even think when he said, get behind me, Satan, I don't even really think it was really aimed at Peter. I think even Jesus was speaking to his own humanity, because it's absolutely possible for the human desires in you to war against godly concerns. I think Jesus was saying, get behind me, Satan, because he was like, I really am tempted to get down off the cross. I really am tempted to use my power to take over. I really am tempted to not die. We know that's the truth, because he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. So maybe when he said, get behind me, Satan, maybe it's like, I can't hear that, Satan, get behind me. Because that kind of thought and that kind of talk is merely human concern. And I'm trying to focus on godly concerns in a human body. Who am I talking to besides just myself around the world? I'm trying to be spiritual on a Sunday, but it better not be hot in here. Come on. I'm trying to focus, but I miss breakfast. And I wonder, will this dude wrap up before the brunch is done? I'm looking at, yes, what a sermon. What time is it? That I'm trying to give God 2 hours. I'm halfway scared to say 2 hours. Most of us gave God all Sunday. 168 hours in a week. A tithe of your time would be 16 hours. We're trying to get you to give him 2. Trying to get you to give him 2, but your stomach is rumbling. I can hear from here. Trying to get you to give him 2, but you're a little bit on this mask. Oh my God, how long? Trying to get you to give him 2, but your baby's making a noise right now. You're trying to listen to the sermon, and this is the exact moment when that little toddler with that Fisher-Price demon, this is the moment when they have decided to make a mess. They have been quiet until the word. and you are trying to focus in and hear a word, and here they come. Mama, ma, mommy, ma. What? It's sunny out. Girl, I'm trying to hear the word. Boy, I'm trying to keep from killing. If I don't get me some Bible, if I don't get me some word, you might not live. Leave me alone. Go play. What happened to kids that used to go play? Remember kids that used to go play? Was anybody one of them kids where you go play? Matter of fact, you would go and say, can I go play? Your mama had to tell you, be back when the street lights on. Be back. Be back when the lightning bugs came out. Be back by a certain time, because you would go play and not come home. I'm amazed by these children want to be around their mama all the time. I didn't want to see my mama all day. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I loved her, but I loved her from afar. You can't even say go play. They go get their toys and bring them in front of you and want to play in front of you. In the immortal words of Keith Sweat, something just ain't right about that. They shouldn't want to be around you all the time. You too nice. That's your problem. You give too much unmerited praise. To get praise from my mama, you had to do something. To get praise from my mama, you had to make your bed. To get praise from my mama, you had to smell good. Because she said, come over here, let me smell you. You had to be like, take yourself on in there. Because there was a judgment. Y'all give praise for waking in the morning. Well, good morning. It's so wonderful. Hi, baby. You're four. Yay. What my point is it is hard. I'm starting to mess now. What? It is hard to have godly concerns when you're human. Can we just admit that? Can we admit? I'm admitting it. It's hard to have in mind the things of God and not merely human concerns while I'm human. Humanity has a way of breaking back in. Humanity has a way of kicking in, and I end up saying, well, what is mine? Awesome. Church is great. Hallelujah. What's mine? What's even more mine? What belongs to me? What will I receive? What's going to happen to me, though? What does God have for me? I mean, I'll praise him, but what does he have for me? I'll love him, but what's mine? I don't know if you've ever been to the bank and they ask you for ID. I don't know if you've ever been there. There was a time when I would just throw my card up and they just give you money and you can scan your thing or whatever. But now I was there, scanned my thing, put my code in, trying to do something with the money, and they said, can we see your ID? And I said, absolutely. I have no problem showing my ID for my stuff. Why would I get an attitude? And I thanked them. They were like, oh, thank you very much. Something we're just doing a little bit more as a security precaution. And I said, you don't have to apologize to me. I don't want you giving my money to anybody who is not me. This is mine. I want what's mine. I'm not asking for nobody else's money, and I don't want nobody to take mine. What is mine? Jesus says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. I'm sorry. I believe that a part of the reason why Jesus called disciples and raised disciples and taught disciples and then gave them the keys. Part of the reason why I believe at the end of the prayer, he said, for thine is the kingdom and thine is the power and thine is the glory, is because he needs somebody whose feet are on the earth to use heavenly power to impact the earth. That's hard to do if you don't have earthly concerns. If you get so spooky deep spiritual that you don't have any earthly concerns, the church tried to make us have no earthly concerns. Well, we don't care about money. Just give me Jesus. I don't care about a house. Just give me Jesus. I don't care about no job. And give me Jesus. You can have gold, but give me Jesus. You can have houses, but give me Jesus. It's a nice idea. The problem is that it disqualifies you from having power. A part of what qualifies you to have power is that you have concerns. I'm trying to keep caring about children's ministry. I do care about children's ministry. I really do. But I'm trying harder now because I don't have any babies. My son, Manny Arango, cannot get on this stage without talking about this little boy. For me, that's... What I'm saying is you're more concerned about that when you're in that phase. Can I get a witness in the building? This is why we have to be careful letting older people run the church too much. That's why I've always had young people and always have young people up. And that's why most of the folk that are up here are young, is because if we let the church be run too much by old people, then the church will cease to be able to reach and touch the needs of every single generation. And then what Jesus said won't come to pass, because Jesus said, and the gates of death will not stop the church. Hades will not stop the church. Death will not stop the church. The way for death to not stop the church is for folk who are too old to not be in too much charge. Because if folk who are too old get too much in charge of the church, they forget the people that are 8. 80-year-old people don't think about kids in the church that are 8. So what I'm saying to you is, it is okay. I just want to make this a statement. I want to be honest about it. And you do not have to be a preacher. You do not have to be a pastor. Peter is a businessman. He's not even in the ministry yet. As a matter of fact, he's so upset about denying Christ that he just goes back to work. And Jesus has to restore him. And Jesus restores him by saying, Peter, I thought you loved me. Peter, I thought you was my boy. Peter, I thought you was down all the way. I thought I was your man 1,000 grand. Do you love me more than these? Peter got hurt. Lord, you know I love you. All right, then I want to transition you from business, from fisher business, into being a fisher of men. Trying to get you in a ministry. I'm really not that upset about what you said, because at the time, you weren't even in the ministry. You were a businessman at that time. When Jesus said, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen, he didn't say that to anybody in the priesthood. He said that to a bunch of business guys. I speak this over this room in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the idea that God can only talk to the priesthood. I rebuke the idea that he can only talk to the clergy. I rebuke the idea. I think it's interesting that Jesus comes, calls disciples, and not nobody is from the priesthood. I think it's interesting that of his 12 apostles, not a nobody. It's not till Paul, who is a Pharisee. It's not till Paul. But before that, there's not one preacher in the group. So for all of you in here who are not preachers, for all of you that are watching around the world who are not preachers, what I'm saying to you is, having human concerns is a part of what gives you power to pray. I don't know if you have that much prayer power if all you do is think about Jesus all the time. See, we think that the people with the most prayer power are the people that are always in the prayer room and always in the intercessory and always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We think that's who has prayer power, but I don't know. It seems to me that the people who have bind on earth and is bound in heaven, loose on earth and is loosed in heaven, are people who are actually in the earth. and actually have earthly concerns and actually know what's about to happen next and actually knows what's going on with the economy and actually knows who's about to be president and actually knows who might be the next governor and actually knows what's happening with the climate and actually knows what has happened is we have created a world in which we made it seem as if the only way to be spiritual is to only be spiritual. And what has really happened now, beloved, is that the world that needs us to be the light don't want to hear nothing from us because we got so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. What I'm saying is if you're in this room, if you're watching right now and you're thinking, what am I going to leave my kids? How am I going to get this deal done? How am I going to get this business to go to the next level? How am I going to make this money? This is awesome. Church is wonderful. But how am I going, what am I going to do tomorrow? What is about to happen? How much longer am I going to work at this job? What exactly is going on when it comes to race? What exactly is going on when it comes to the climate? What exactly is going on in this day? If that is you, then for thine is the kingdom. And thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the worst things that can ever happen to the kingdom of God is for it to overly fall in the hands of people who have no earthly concerns. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Jesus. Do you have any money? I just want to talk about Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus when the sun go down. We think that those are the spiritual people. I would contend they're spiritual, but they may not have power. People who have power are folk who actually standing on earth, Elder Paul, standing on earth, right past Al, standing on earth. And while I'm on the earth, I say, all right, I have to access heavenly power to impact what I see happening in the earth. I can't do that if I'm not aware of what's happening in the earth. Can I get a witness in the building? I'm gonna make everybody clap to that. The fact that you have an earthly concern makes you qualified to pray. I don't think you can pray if you don't read the paper. I just don't. You don't know what to pray for. I don't think you can pray if you don't read a book. Well, I only read the Bible. Thank you. Can you go over there? You will find yourself without power. Because how can God trust you when you don't have any information? And a part of what happened to us, especially African Americans, I know everybody watching ain't black, but what happened to us is they sold us so much on spiritual power that we ended up without any other kind of power but spiritual power. We are some of the most spiritual people in America and on the world. We have the biggest churches. Sorry, we have the biggest churches because we make up about 10, 11, 12% of this population and we still have the biggest churches. We have huge churches. If I've got 5,000 people, then a white church would have to have 50,000 to match me. Because I'm ministering to 10, 11% of the population. So clearly, the black churches in America and some of the most powerfully spiritual churches, biggest churches are in Africa. We know spirituality. They let us have that. But they don't want us to have any of the other pieces. When you look at a chessboard, I'm going to get a little deep on a Sunday. When you look at a chessboard, let me tell you the pieces that are there. On the outside are the rooks. The rooks is property, castles, land. Next to that is the knights. That's your soldiers. That's your cops. That's your first responders. That's your military. That's your might. Next to that is the bishops. The bishops is the church. And next to that is the kings and the queen. which is the king and the queen, which is money and political and power and wealth. And in the front of the pawns. And they just gave us church. They only want us in the bishop seat. They want us to be more honored by being called bishop than we are honored by being called homeowner, or honored by being called king, or honored by being called soldier. We want to walk around with purple shirts and talk about being a bishop because they sold us only on the spiritual aspect of the kingdom. And the devil is a liar. We have got to break out of that and realize there's way more to this than being a bishop. Can I get a witness in the building? So much more, not knocking any bishops, not anything negative against the bishop, but understand the bishops are just one piece, two pieces on the board of success. You can't win chess only moving your bishops. You have to have an understanding of the pawns. You have to have an understanding of property. You have to have some kind of understanding about the government, about the way money works. You have got to get some kind of sense about the king and the queen, or else you will lose. They told us, just be spiritual. And I'm saying that's not right. I'm saying that what I would like us to do, since we've got spirituality down, we got that. That we got. So much of the world is losing faith in who God is. Not black people. I know not everybody didn't want to say black, but not black people. Most black people, most black people still believe God is alive. So spiritually, it's not what we need. I was talking to a young man at the wedding yesterday. Young man. He used to go to the church. He still comes around. He's like, I still watch you. I could tell just by looking at him, he ain't living right. I wish I had a witness in the building. I could tell just by looking at him. I could tell by looking at him, number one, because I could look at his lips and I could see his face and I could just look at him that he ain't living right. But I also can recognize it because I remember when I wasn't living right. Ooh, don't nobody want to say amen on that one. I can smell it because I smelled it on myself. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. You know what he said to me? He said, I watch you. I still watch you. Watch PA. I still watch you, man. I still watch you. And I said, I know. He said, every day, I get up, man. I just want you to know I pray my prayers, you know. And, you know, I will pass it out. I pray my prayers. I ask God for grace. I ask God for favor. Life just is raggedy. Life just is messy. Just mama's sitting there praying for him, crying, scared. He going to die any minute. But he's praying to God, though. He was in your youth group. You taught him. Spirit, you got Jesus. He's still believing grace. He's still believing favor. He didn't ask me how to make money. He asked me about grace. I say, grace is sufficient. But let's talk about something else besides just grace. Let's talk about life. I said, let's talk about life. He said, all right, PA. I said, all right. I know you think I'm going to give you a sermon. Let's talk about life. I said, when you want to have a good life has a lot of doors. I said to him, I live in a beautiful house. I'm telling you now, I live in a very nice house. If you don't like me, you can't come to my house. You'll really hate me if you see my house. Lord has blessed me. I made some smart moves. God worked a miracle on my behalf. I got a house in foreclosure that's worth 10 times what I paid for it. And so, yeah, my house is a beautiful house. And a part of what makes it beautiful is there are multiple ways in. You can go in the front door, but there's another door over here. You can go in through the garages. And then when you get inside the front of my house, the back wall is glass and there's door out, door out, door out, door out. There's a door off my bedroom that goes outside. There's a door off the guest bedroom that goes outside. There's a door over here that goes to the courtyard. There's multiple ways in. There's multiple ways out. A part of how you know a house is nice and expensive and worth more is there's more way in and more ways out. That apartment you have has a front door. You hope you have a fire escape. Talk to me. You hope so. You got a rope over there so you can get out if you ever, because there's only one way in. You get yourself a little starter house, it has a front door and a back door. My son Manny Arango got a front door and a back door. His garage could, but he done turned his garage into some kind of studio because he's Cuban. And so now he's doing all kinds of work. And so he got a way in, he got a way out. My house is better than his house because I don't have only one way in and only one way out. I have multiple ways to get in and multiple ways to get out. I said that to that young man. I said, a part of the way that you know that your life is quality is that you have multiple ways in which you can experience joy. And the problem is that life or the world or whatever has a way of trying to make you only experience joy through one door. My issue with weed is, even though it's from the earth, my issue with weed is that weed has a way of being the only door through which you can experience joy. If you smoke too much of it, then it will make you not care about all the other ways in which you could experience joy, because there's more to life than just being high. The challenge of being too much about women, and believe me, I love a black woman. Oh, hallelujah. And I got one that needs lotion. Help me, Jesus. But what I'm saying is, bruh, you have to be careful, because things that satisfy your appetite have a tendency to want to be the only door. And your life is not quality if you can only experience joy through booty, if you can only experience joy through a party, if you can only experience joy through weed, if you can only experience joy through church. And the reason why church folk didn't have a quality life is because they exchanged liquor for church. They exchanged weed for Jesus. That's their puff. That's their, y'all are past the, don't you put on the left hand. They are passing Jesus on the left hand side. They come to church just to get high. Your drug is the Bible. Theirs is, yours is Jesus. Some of y'all are waiting for me to lay these lines out so you can get your freeze on from Jesus. And what I'm saying to you is, that ain't life. I said to him, son, sure, there's life through Jesus, but there's also life through having some success, and there's life through having some purpose, and there's life through having some money, and there's life through having some friends, and there's life through having some love, and there's life through having some connections. There's all kinds of doors through which you ought to have life. I need a witness in the building. You better get multiple doors. I told him, I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 23. I said, 23 is not the time to smoke weed. It's not the time to smoke weed. I've heard a lot about this weed stuff. I don't know. Maybe when I'm 80. I don't know what you're going to do, Pastor Al, but maybe when I'm 80. Oh, yes, Elder. Maybe when I'm done. I need a witness in the building. Don't judge me. Folk will be like, Pastor Andy, can I come meet with you? I'll be like, not on Friday. No, you cannot. When you come, I may be like, I can't tell you. I make no promises. I might be lit. You may come to have a Bible conversation with me, and I might be 80 saying, I'm going to get you high today, Craig. You ain't, it's Friday, you ain't got no job. I don't know what I'm, hopefully I won't, but I can't guarantee it. Don't judge me. I might go to see Jesus high. I don't know. What I'm saying to you is, I said to him, I said, son, see, when I was 23, I was annoyed. When I was 23, I was mad. When I was 23, I felt disrespected all the time. And I didn't have anything to make that feeling go away. It made me hungry. It made me work. It made me hard. It made me successful. It made me have multiple doors. I'm glad I didn't have it, because if it had taken that feeling away, then I might not have got done what I got done. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the back. I might not have got all this done. I might not have been here. I might not have moved here. I might have been all right. There was stuff that was going on in my life in Boston that was so jacked up. If I had had a blunt, it might have calmed me, and I might have never moved to North Carolina. Thank God I wasn't smoking weed, because it made me leave and find joy in another place. I wish I had a witness in the building. You better be careful with something that makes you not feel your feelings. Sometimes them feelings make you successful. Sometimes them feelings make you work hard. Sometimes them feelings make you get upset. Sometimes them feelings make you do something serious. Sometimes them feelings make you say, I can't take this no more. Sometimes the way they disrespect you, it makes you quit. It makes you say, take this job and shove it. It makes you say, I don't want to work for you. And we might take that from you. Be careful. You don't want to drink so much that you rob yourself of your drive. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Don't be so busy partying that you don't feel your fear. Don't be so busy having a good time that you miss the fact that your anxiety will drive you to success. Can I get a witness in the building? Am I by myself? Is there anybody in here that can say, oh yeah, PA, I couldn't rest. I told God, I won't let you go till you bless me. I told God, I will not stop till you bless me. I could not smoke weed because I might still be broke, but I'm not broke because I was scared. I'm successful because I was terrified. Can I get a witness? 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 I'm not just trying to dog your weed, but I'm saying save it. Save weed for when you're 80. Let's all get to 80 and smoked weed together. While you 25, go get a job. While you 26, start your own business. While you 28, find you a wife and start a family. Live to 80 and smoke weed with me. This is not the time for weed. This is the time for work. This is not the time for weed. This is the time for purpose. This is not the time for weed. This is the time for you to say, for mine is the kingdom, and mine is the power, and mine is the glory. Say, the time for weed. I know it's good. I know y'all got some of the best weed they ever made. But I would contend this is not the time for weed. This is the time for word. It's not the time for weed. It's the time to read. It's not the time for weed. This is the time for wisdom. I said, son, be careful. You're going to end up with a life that's only experiencing joy through one door. But I would contend that many of us, maybe I can't speak for you, but I'm speaking for me. Many of us were taught the only door through which to experience joy was Jesus. need a witness in the building. Who am I talking to? That's what they told you. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. Let me correct that for you. Fourth generation preacher, let me correct that for you. That's faulty thinking. Jesus said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. I've come that you'll have church and have it more abundantly. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, I didn't come for you to have church and that more abundantly. I didn't come just for you to be able to shout. I didn't come just for you to hear a young man that can play the hymn and be three. I didn't come just for that. I came that you'll have life and have it to the full. If you want full life, put your hands together and bless his name. I said, bless his name. If you want full life, if you want abundant life, if you're watching around the world, you're saying, I want abundant life. No, PA, I want abundant life. I don't just want church life. I want abundant life. I don't just want Jesus life. I want abundant life. I don't just want church life. I want abundant life. They taught me how to pray. Now, can somebody teach me how to make some money? They taught me how to pray. Can somebody teach me how to buy property? They taught me how to pray. Can't teach me how to save. They taught us how to pray, but they didn't teach us how to invest. Even though investment is faith. Investment is, I give you 10, you give it back to me 100. That's faith. I would contend, if you can't sow into the kingdom, you don't really know how to sow into anything. Some of the richest people in the world aren't rich from their job. They're rich because they bought Apple at 10. They sowed. That faith doesn't just apply to kingdom. It applies to life. And if you can't sow it, if you can give to God who you can't see, then you also should be able to walk by a piece of property and say, I think this property is going to be worth something one of these days. I'm going to buy this little lot in downtown Durham. Even though there's tumbleweeds rolling through it now, I'm going to buy it and spend some money and just believe because I have faith. There are people that did that, and they're rich now because downtown Durham turned around. And there's a whole lot of us in the room who wishes we had bought some property in downtown Durham when it was nothing. Okay, nobody say amen on that with me? What was that? That's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because for God to be pleased, you have to have more than just church. You have to have life. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to sow? Can I get you to give to the work of the kingdom of God? Can I get you to give? I'm going to be asking you to give. First Sunday in September, I'm going to be sharing my vision. And it's not just vision. It's vision, sure, but it's where we're going from here, beloved. It's what's about to happen next. I'm going to tell you all about the land and all about the vision that I have. You're going to love it. And I'm not telling it to you just for you to say, oh, nice. I'm telling it to you because we're going to do it together. I was kind of weak. So because we're going to do it together. I'm going to make everybody clap. We're going to do it together. I want you to start getting it in your spirit. You're going to give me some of that chicken sandwich money. You're going to give me some of that Starbucks money. You may not get the newest iPhone when it comes out because you may sow into this work we're about to do together in the kingdom. Can I get you to give now? Can I get you to sow? Pastor Manny raised the tithe. Can I get you to give an offering above and beyond your tithe? Little as much when God is in it. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to have faith? Around the world, can I get you to sow into this word? What am I saying to you? I'm saying you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be a priest to have power. As a matter of fact, some of the most powerful people in the world, on the planet, are not the prophets. Maybe, just maybe, they've figured out how to access heaven power and impact the earth. And a part of the way that you do that is by sowing. So I want you to give. We've got it up on the app. The QR code is there. It's on your screen. You can give to the work of the kingdom of God. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to let you go. But I want us to sow above and beyond our tithes and offerings. Say, I gave my tithe. That's the tenth that belongs to God. But now I want to sow. I loved that today, son. I love there's scattered seed and there's dedicated seed. And you're right. So many of us are the result of scattered seed. So many of us. I will contend that most of you in this room heard about Jesus not on your own. I'm just going to let that marinate for a minute. I will contend most of you heard about Jesus, know about church, because your mama made you go. Talk to me. Your mama made you go. Your daddy made you go. Somebody made you go. Somebody spoke stuff over you, prayed stuff over you. First time you heard prayer was not from your mouth. Most of you, seed was scattered. Now, you grown. You have an opportunity to take responsibility for your own spirituality. And a part of the way that you do that is you say, this is my church, this is our vision, and I'm giving into that. And now I want to have directed seed, not scattered seed. I want to give. I want to be a giver. I don't want to just be a taker. I want to be a giver. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this opportunity that we have to give. This $20, this $50, this $100. Someone's watching around the world that's writing the biggest check they've ever written. God, I believe you right now for $1,000 seed. I believe you, God, right now for $5,000 seed. I believe, God, that you are going to make us rich so that we can be generous on every occasion. You're not going to make us rich just to make us rich. You're going to make us rich so we can be generous on every occasion and then give glory to you. In our hardships, in our persecutions, when we're weak, you make us strong. Even God, in our imperfection, you make us strong. Even in our lost place, you make us strong. Even in the middle of our fear, you make us strong. Make us strong now. Mighty God, show yourself strong through your people. Power them in this room and around the world. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We all sit together. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes you or whatever you do with your phone or your QR code, there's a QR code on your button, on the bucket or on the screens or you're watching around the world. Just jump on your feet. We're so excited that you were with us today. And Wednesday nights, Pastor Manny still has been speaking. And we're still having our Wednesday nights. They're not live. But next Sunday we will be here. I'm trying to get to this. I've got these 5 points on how to access heavenly power for business. That's what I'm supposed to be preaching. How to access heavenly power for business. Let me tell you how to get heaven on your side. Keys to kingdom power for money and business. That is what I'm supposed to be getting to, and I never seem to get there. I'm going to try to get there next Sunday. Amen, I promise you. Anybody hear a word from the Lord today? Anybody hear a word from the Lord today? Anybody around the world heard a word from the Lord today? All right, if you can just hold tight. Just let the ushers just grab what we're grabbing, and I'm going to pray for you and let you go. Come on. Don't touch nobody's hand. Just jump on your feet with me really quickly, and we're going to dismiss. Don't touch nobody's hand. Wrap your arms around yourself. God, I want to thank you for your power for us. I want to thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord God, for all that happened today. Awesome worship. Awesome praise. Thank you for the gifts that you've given unto men. Thank you, Lord God, for the visitation of your presence. It's more important than anything. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing on your son, Emmanuel. Thank you for that word he shared with us today. Thank you, Lord God, for the power to sow. Thank you, Lord God, for these ideas that you are placing within us to share with the world. Now, God, we ask you to confirm your word with signs following. Open a door for somebody this week. Favor on somebody this week. Healing miraculously on somebody this week. Heal our bodies. Heal our minds. Heal our money. Make us players in the game. And we'll praise you. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. And God, as we always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. God bless you. God bless you. See you next Sunday. See, greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody holy.